1 Corinthians 16. Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian church to do on the first day of every week. Each one of you should set aside some of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gifts to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend winter, so that you can help me on my journey. Wherever I go, for I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on the Ephesians until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the law just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now about our brother Apollos. I strongly urge him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brother and sister, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad that Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful to have this opportunity to preach the God's Word with you. And also, I'm very, very appreciate that our pastor this morning, he spent a lot of effort to celebrate, to share the happiness with us in the Lunar New Year. Today, the sermon, the title is International Local and Missional Church. The scripture is from 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 to 24. 6 years ago, when I first joined this church, I can never dream of one day we are celebrating the Lunar New Year here together with brothers and sisters from all around the world. Although a few years ago we did celebrate, I think it's the Jewish New Year, the Passover meal. Yeah, but this time we are celebrating the Lunar New Year, and hopefully in the future we are going to celebrate New Year, African New Year, or New Year from all around the world. And today my dream come true. When we talk about dream, have you heard about there was a land called a land of dream? Where is it? A land of dream. America. Yeah. What was America called the land of dream? The term was coined by the writer and historian James Adams in his best-selling 1931 book, Epic of America. He described it as that dream of a land in which life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone, with opportunity for each according to ability or achievement. So that's why throughout many, many centuries, people from all around the world migrate to America to look for their dream. The idea of the American dream actually has much deeper roots. Its tenets can be found in the Declaration of Independence, which states, "We hold this truth to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So we can see this land of America, they built their country with a deep biblical root. So I will show you a picture, and you can tell me what can you see in the picture. Yeah, in this picture. This picture called Uncle Sam's Thanksgiving Dinner, which was printed 150 years ago. It was printed at November 20 of 1869. So, what can you see in the picture? A lot of people. Yeah. We can find out people from different countries, different races, different nations. Yeah. And this person is the hairstyle of the Asian Chinese people. Yeah. So what did you notice about the people in the picture? They were of different races, ethnicity, and they were sharing the Thanksgiving dinner together. Isn't it wonderful that peoples from all over the world can happily sit together and share? But look at our world today. 150 years passed by. Look at our world today. There are still a lot of problems, such as poverty, famine, conflict, whether interpersonal or international conflicts, even wars, happen in the world. So how should we, with this background in our mind, we are going to think about from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 today. How should we build the church so that the church can bring about peace, equality, harmony among people and nations? So we are going to look at these three points. An international connection church, a missional component of a church, and the local congregation of a church. First, we look at the international connection. First Corinthians 16 is the closing instruction and greetings of Apostle Paul's Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Back to the Apostle Paul's time, Corinth is a province under Roman administration. It is a cosmopolitan city with a mix of cultures and various religious ideas. There is a Jewish synagogue at Corinth, which means it has a certain amount of Jewish people in the city. So, what did the world look like at the time of the Roman Empire? So this is a map of the Roman Empire back in 40 AD. The Roman Empire at its height at that moment, the Roman road, the road network included more than 370 Greek roads, covering a total distance of more than 250,000 miles of roads. Over 50,000 miles of which were stone paved. And actually, we have one of the Roman roads very near to us here in Stanmore, which can be traced back to the Roman time. We call Watling Street. Yeah, the street is from Dover all the way to the Wales, and the section passed through very close to us is this. Sorry, I pressed the wrong button. comes again, thank God. You can see the red circle is Samo, and the street nine actually is A5, passing through from Collingdale all along to Edgware. So with this geographical background in mind, it is not difficult to understand why the churches mentioned in the Acts and in the New Testament letters of apostles are international churches. New church was established in a new place. They are all independent church, so they have local church autonomy. Yet, they helping each other through a network. With this connection, they preach the gospel of Jesus to the world. Churches formed with people from different races and cultural backgrounds. We can find cross-cultural or multicultural elements in this congregation of believers. There is a very good introduction from a scholar, Dr. Greg Arnold. He said, 1 Corinthians 16 is an example of the international favor of the true Church of Jesus Christ. Five Roman prophecies are mentioned: Galatia, Judea, Macedonia, Achaia, and Asia. These prophecies represent different cultures and conditions: European and Eastern, Jew and Arab, Greek and Roman, urban and rural. And this raised a question: why has the gospel been effectively preached in the first century in all this area? The gospel goes across all racial and cultural backgrounds. It is effective for all kind of people. In fact, the gospel and the church must have an international favor. In order to be true to the command of the Lord, Jesus, which says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. From Mark 16, verse 15. So how does it work? In this chapter, Paul mentions some practical deeds that have value for all Christians. The Christian should lay by money in store for good uses, having a treasury for this purpose, a stock for others as well as for themselves. Paul taught the Corinthian church to learn from the example of the church in Galatia. So from verse 1 to 4, which is in your Bible page 1115, yeah, please keep the Bible open. Yeah. This mention about the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering from poverty and famine, so Paul was collecting money for them. He suggests that believers to set aside a certain amount each week and give it to the church until he arrived to take it to Jerusalem. We should be ready for every good work as opportunity offered, whether it be in giving or in assisting in some other way the servant of Christ. So for Samuel Chapel, for us, do we have this horizon to care about other churches around the world, especially for those churches in need or even under persecution? Second, we are looking to the missional component, how the Holy Spirit coordinates the gospel worker and the churches. Missional church is a community of God's people that defines itself and organizes its life around. Its real purpose of being an agent of God's mission to the world. In other words, the church true and authentic organizing principle is mission. From verse 5 to verse 9. From verse 5 to verse 9, again, Paul mentioned about many different areas. He said, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter. Paul had an itinerant ministry, which is a traveling ministry, to the whole church. He wanted to come to visit the Corinthians and gave a significant amount of time with them, so as to teach and disciple, nurture them. Paul wanted to avoid the harsh travel in the sea and overland in the winter months, but he would come if the Lord permitted it. He made plans, but God directed his steps. Paul wanted the Corinthians to send him on his way to help on his mission. This probably implies material assistance, goods, money, traveling companion, or whatever. At Ephesians, there was great blessing and great opposition. Confrontation with demonic powers, opposition by merchants led by the silversmith, and the Jewish hierarchy was challenging Paul's every move. The lesson to learn is that When we are doing God's mission, there will be opposition. The presence of opposition does not mean we have moved out of the will of God. Lack of opposition should cause us to ask if we are preaching the gospel completely. To ask, are we doing God's mission? From verse 10 to verse 12, Paul here mentioned other gospel workers. When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you. So Timothy was also an itinerant preacher. Paul was concerned that the Corinthians might treat Timothy badly because of their negative feelings about Paul. There was also Timothy's youth, his young, and possibly his personality. They were to send him on his way with material help. Paul and Timothy were both doing the Lord's work, co-laborer with different personality and different gifts, but both were important to the international church. In verse 12, Paul mentioned another co-worker to complete the mission together. It's about Apollo. Apollo is another itinerant minister who previously had a strong ministry to the church at Corinth. He did not feel it was the right time to go to Corinth. His reluctance could abuse of spiritual gifts. Paul had desire for Apollos, but Apollos did not feel the same way as Paul. So we can see God needs each individual to accomplish the Great Commission. Yet through the guidance of the same Holy Spirit, God Himself coordinates the workers, servants very well, and put them at the place, at the right place, at the right time for the benefit of the church. With the guidance of Holy Spirit, Apostle Paul worked with other gospel workers and churches at different cities, places, with a very good coordination. Third, we will come to the local congregation. When we talk about a local local congregation like us, we have to talk about the people in the local congregation. So, what I mean, about local, look at this picture, yeah, and also look around us. This is a picture from the local. I just took it in the tube. And look around the congregation here. Do we, Samuel Chapel, reflect the composition of people in the local area? Yeah, we can say yes. We can see inside the tube, all different people from different races and nationality. So, first of all, for a local congregation, the people in the local congregation should reflect the area of our local of the local area. And then, from verse 13. To 16. From verse 13, this is the actual teaching from Paul to encourage how the congregation should be. So, I shall read for you from verse 13 to 16. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. So Paul's encouragement to each of us is to on guard and stand firm. These words are actually military terms that encourage Christians to stand firm in their faith. Christians must be watchful against deception of the devil, be steadfast in their teaching, be brave and mature, also to firmly support the Christian faith. Again, Paul stresses that love is the dominant force in the Christian life. We Christians are nothing without love. So, for a local congregation, we have to ask ourselves, do we love our congregation? Do we love this church, this same chapel that God brings us in to worship Him? If the answer is yes, I encourage you to follow the teaching from Paul. Be on your guard, stand firm in your faith, also do everything in love. From verse 17 to 19, Paul mentioned others. Names in these few verses, from verse 17 to 19. Through these three Christian brothers, Christ spiritually refreshed the poor. They supply what was lacking from the Corinthians by encouraging Paul. They were also encouraging the Corinthians. And from verse 19, it mentioned about Aquila and Priscilla. Wherever Aquila and Priscilla went, they started a house church. Through this couple, we see how the early church was communicated, networked, and cooperated. And today we can see, with the modern technology, all the local congregation at different area is easily to get close to the universal church, to get closer. And here comes the personal greetings of Apostle Paul from verse 20 to 24. All the brothers and sisters here sending you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. We might thought that for such an ordinary person like us, how can we achieve the glorious, the huge purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ? No worry, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit is helping. He called each of us, guiding each of us here at the right season, right time, right moment to fulfill his work. So I will show you the last picture. Yes. The same question as the beginning. What can you see in the picture? Yeah. So what did you notice about the people in the picture? This is not Uncle Sam's Thanksgiving dinner, which they dream of 150 years ago. This is actually happened. This is a real picture. June, when we're celebrating the Jubilee church lunch. Yeah. We can see people from all nations, different ages, different races, sitting together and sharing the happiness, sharing the lunch very well. So when about half an hour later, we can start our Lunar New Year church lunch celebration. And I was really thankful that we can celebrate this year for the Lunar New Year, and also in the future, may the Lord help this congregation to celebrate different cultures New Year. So let us pray to have a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing, and thank you for bringing each of us here to worship you, to serve you. Lord, grant us the love we need to love you, to love our church, and love the people in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So shall we stand and sing the last hymn, the response hymn, I Cannot Tell. Thank you.